I'm very encouraged by the response that we're getting from the class, those that are getting the tapes, some all the tapes, some from time to time. A lot of the tapes are being sent out, and families are using from devotions in different areas. And I'm very encouraged by what God is doing through the class. And so we just really need to embrace what the Lord is speaking. I encourage again, as we've said over and over, this is to be applied to our daily lives. And this is where we need to truly ask the Lord to give us His strength to apply it in our daily lives. I know I've said this a lot, but I want to reemphasize, it's in our daily living that we have the opportunity to apply what God is doing. We thank God for church. We thank God for church services. So I never misunderstand that I'm acting as if those things are not important. We thank God for Wednesdays and Fridays and Sundays, or whenever people attend church. And it's important that we fail not the assembling of ourselves together, as Hebrews says. But that should really be, if I can give a poor analogy, the icing on the cake, the candles and the smoke after you blow out the candles. Amen. The work is done at home. The real work is done at home, and not just in your prayer closet, but in your daily life, of allowing the Lord to do a progressive work in your heart. And I just want to encourage you to really open up your eyes to see areas in your daily walk that the Lord is trying to bring these things to pass. He brings you into situations, etc. That's where we truly learn how to walk with the Lord. If you realize, when you read the Gospels, He walked with these men day by day, hour by hour, literally step by step. And I've shared many messages, and you've heard me say that there was a particular time He came out of the city that He was taking steps, and the Bible was very specific as He walked. I remember the exact phraseology, but it was as He was walking, He was speaking. He was taking the time step by step to reveal to them something about Himself, to find out where they were at. So He never missed an opportunity. He won't in your life either. He'll truly take the time to teach and to develop that characteristic that He desires in your hearts. Don't misrepresent or don't underestimate the things that are happening in your life, of how profound they will be in years to come, of how God used them to develop godly characteristics. It's in those small things. And we've all looked back and have to scratch our heads and hang our heads and say, Lord, I sure blew it. I failed You. You were right there in my midst. You were trying to teach me. I didn't see it was You. I was all about me. I was too concerned about the results. I was too concerned about myself. I couldn't see past my nose. I couldn't see that someone else was hurting. I couldn't see that what was happening was a foundation for 10 years down the road. I lived my life away back there, all about me and my little circle, and I tried to bring that to my Christianity. We've all done that. We've all had to say, Lord, help me to get past myself and my little circle of events and my little circle of problems. And I assure you by the Word that in those situations, God is trying to teach you something. And if you just open your heart. And so if you haven't done it up to today, good day to start, amen, because you don't want to go another week or month and look back. Don't waste another month and miss these opportunities that the Lord has for you. Let's go back to page 32 just briefly. Excuse me. And let me bring us up to date bring us up to where we're at real quick. I don't want to take too much time to overlap. We're speaking about having to learn Christ by revelation, the utmost importance, that the only way we truly know the person of Christ is by the Holy Spirit revealing Him to us. Once again, not by technique, not by doctrine, but by revealing of the Holy Spirit. It's a work of grace in the inner man, a work of God. We will never know Him apart from the Holy Spirit revealing the person to us. And we've talked about that, how the book of John was written specifically because the church had come to a place where they had gotten away from the New Testament power, the New Testament life. They were still having church. They were still doing all the same things. All that didn't change. They were doing all the same outward things, the techniques, the formulas, the doctrines, but they lost that original power. When you read the book of Acts, there was a power there. And I'm not there insinuating that we're walking in that power and its fullness today in any way. I'm not insinuating that, but there is a power and a life in the book of Acts that the church had. Immediately when they started to get away from that, God ordained John to write his epistle, his gospel, the book of Revelations. I agree with Brother Sparks, and it's so obvious when you really think about this in its full circle, that God so loved the church that He endeavored to get the church back to its original power, its original glory, which was only just a few years before. And He did this by John writing the book of John, 1 John, 2 John, Revelation, etc. But when you read those books, you have to acknowledge that the whole emphasis on those books is a person, Jesus Christ. So God endeavored to bring the church back to its original power, is original life, the life, by revealing the person of Christ again, bringing them back to what was really important, knowing the person. In our personal lives, when you and I start to veer away or to miss or to move ourselves away from the center focus of what real Christianity is, no matter what it may be in our individual lives, your situation may be different than mine or Mr. Edmonds or Mr. Jose's, whoever, but we start to find that we're really getting away from what's really important in Christianity, and that's knowing the person of Christ. We may quote doctrine, lift our hands, all the things we talk about, but we don't really have that initial revelation of Him, that where the joy and the love flows through our hearts, that we see people through His eyes instead of our eyes. When you start to see people, give me a quick example, when you start to see others through your eyes and you can become a little critical of them, you have removed yourself from the original love and the original joy of what Christianity was when you first got saved. I don't care who we are. It can be me. It can be Daryl. I don't matter. But when you remove yourself from that place, you'll start to see others through the eyes of yourself instead of Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that people can do their thing in sin and we think it's all right. I'm not talking about that. But we have to see people through the eyes of Christ. So there's many gauges, many ways you can check your thermometer, so to speak, to see what's happening in your life. And when you start to get like that, something's happened. Something's happened in your Christianity. And if I read the Word correctly and I understand anything about the Bible, and I think I understand some things, I got a long ways to go, but I think I understand some of the attitude of the Word of God. And when you read the Word, you've got to realize the Word has an attitude that flows all through it. It's like that thread of redemption that flows through all the Word of God. When you read about Rahab in Jericho, that cord hanging out of her window, that was that thread of redemption. It runs all through the Word of God, that God so loved the world He gave His Son. It's everywhere you turn. Well, there's also that thread of Christianity, of you truly knowing the person of Jesus Christ. And when you read the Word, you have to know the attitude of the Word of God. And the attitude of the Word is for you and I to know the person of Christ. And when we start removing ourselves from that center position, I believe the attitude of the Word is to bring us back to the original of our real Christianity, was that a man died for us, so loved us that He gave us our lives, gave us His life, and He so loved us that we want to love Him. And we love Him because He first loved us. And we fall in love all over again with the person of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, it opens your eyes. It opens your eyes to those around you. It allows the love of God to flow through you, etc. And you'll leave all that stuff to leadership or whatever needs to be dealt with. But when we miss our focus of what real Christianity is, the Holy Spirit brings us back to square one. Okay? That's revealing the person. He will not reemphasize to you, oh, Rylan, you don't no longer know the doctrine of sanctification. That's your problem. Oh, Ozzy, I didn't see you lift your hand Sunday in church. That's your problem. Oh, Mr. Evan, you didn't pray every day last week. That's your problem. Okay? Howbeit, we need to do all those things. But that's not the problem. The problem is we are missing what is really important. That's the person of Jesus Christ. So when we start to get off center, the Spirit of God will bring us back to a revelation of a person, Jesus Christ. And I believe with all my heart in the end times, as the Holy Spirit is preparing a bride, more than ever, this bride is going to truly be in love with the person of Jesus Christ, the bridegroom, and we're going to see Him as He really is. Okay, I've said all that before. The importance of revelation. I encourage you to embrace that. Let's just start reading real quickly at page 32. The bottom of page 32. Christ is presented. Everything is measured and judged in the light of that heavenly man with the measuring reed in his hand. You know, we read Ezekiel. That's enough, really. If we only saw that and grasped it, everything for God and for us is bound up with a heart revelation of the Lord Jesus. It will not be, as I have said, in trying to recover the New Testament technique. It will not be in restoration of New Testament order. It will not even be in the reaffirmation of New Testament truth and doctrine. I'm reading through this quick because we've read it before. These are things, they can be used to form a framework, but they can never guarantee the life, the power, and the glory. That's what we want. We want the life, the power, and the glory. We don't want a technique and a formula and all the methods and all the doctrines down pat. Howbeit, we need to know the doctrines, but we need the life, the power, and the glory. We don't need a preacher that knows how to eloquently wax eloquent or put all the phrases together. We don't need a choir that has it all down. We need the life, the power, and the glory. It's what we need in our lives. It will only come as we open our hearts up to the Holy Spirit and ask Him to reveal the person of Jesus Christ. We talked about last Thursday how in the book of John, of how right in the middle of the book of John, Jesus opened the eyes of that young man who was blind from birth. He had never seen. He opened his eyes. And they came to him and they asked this man, the Pharisees, his parents, etc. The Pharisees said, how opened he thine eyes? How did he open your eyes? And the reason that was there was not by happen chance. We talked about this. The Pharisees wanted to know from this young man, how did he do this? It's there for a reason. And I asked you to really try to open your hearts up to that, and you would understand very simply what God was saying. The Pharisees wanted a technique. They wanted a method. And there's so much in the church today, and I'm not being critical, God forbid, if you think I'm trying to point fingers or compare. I'm trying to make a point. There's so much in the church today that says, and we can be very guilty ourselves in our daily walk, if I could just find out how they do that, we would have it too. And it is not in how. It is not in a technique. It is not in a method. It is not in singing it the same way or preaching it the same way. It's getting a revelation of the person of Christ, and out of that flows the life, the power, and the glory. We cannot get it from technique. We cannot get it from method. And there's so much of that going on in the body of Christ. And that is why when John, listen to this, I'm going to pull it all together. That is why when John, who wrote Revelations, for what purpose? To bring the church back to where? Their original power and glory. That's why when John addresses the last of the seven churches, what do you have them saying? We're rich, increased with goods. They were saying, we've got the method, we've got the technique, we've got it down. But where do you find Christ? On the outside trying to get in. And that represents the person of Christ. There was a person trying to get in. Once again, I've said this a dozen times. They were talking about him. They were singing about him. They were preaching about him. They weren't a cult. They were preaching about Christ. But they didn't know anything about the person. They had no fresh revelation of the person. They were doing all the right things, but the life and the power and the glory was standing on the outside trying to get in. Why? Because they learned a technique. They learned a method. They knew how. And that's what they were interested in. They could quote the scriptures. They could look spiritual. They could do all this. But they didn't have the life of Christ. That's what we should cry out for. That's what we should cry. God, we've got to have your life. I don't care about the looking of spirituality and all that. I've got to have the life of Christ. That should be your heart's cry. And I promise you by the word, the Holy Spirit welcomes that cry. And he will begin to reveal to you the person of Jesus Christ. The person to truly know him. So they ask him the technique. And what did the blind man say? He said, look, I don't know. And if you really look at this, he said in layman's terms, I don't know anything about technique. I don't know how he did it. And I really don't care. All I know is this. Once I was blind, but now I see. I don't care about the technique, the methods. I don't know. I was blind. What do you mean? I've not studied techniques and methods. I know I was blind, but now I see. That's the way the church needs to be. Yes, we've got doctrines. Yes, we've got methods that we do things. Yes, services are in order. We don't come in haphazardly and say, Holy Ghost, here we are. What do? We come in, we have order, but we have an openness for him to come. But we're not looking at a technique or a method or try to orchestrate God in our services. We're not to be an organization. We'll be an organism. We're to be something that's living, not something that's put together, but something that's living. That's what we're supposed to be. And so we don't look for a technique or a method. We're to look for him. We're to look for Christ. And this young man, when his eyes were open, the first thing he saw was the person of Jesus Christ. And then we read in John 1:4 where it says, in him was life, and the life was the light. In him was life, and the life was the light. If we're going to have light, it's got to be his life. Now, I know that's simple. We say, oh, I know that. Let the Holy Ghost, I'd encourage you to pray over that one scripture. I'd encourage you to go to your home, take a week, a few minutes every day, and get in your prayer closet, Lord, make that real to me. Oh, I know that scripture. No, Lord, make that real. Reveal that to me by the Spirit of God. In him was life, and that life became the light. Let me ask you something. When you walk into a room that's dark, you're scared to walk through that room until you can see where you're going, right? Very simple. Listen, very simple. So if you can see a little light over in the corner that sheds a little light on the floor, that's where you kind of walk to make sure you don't hit anything if you don't know the room. Okay? God's got places he wants you to walk that you have no knowledge of. Well, you're going to look for some light so that you don't trip and fall over everything around you. What he is saying is the light must be his life, not a technique or a method. You're going to walk in the life of Christ. And anybody that's walking in the life of Christ is excited. And they're not looking for a technique or a how-to. They're looking for Jesus. That's what we need, the life. The life of Christ. Not a method, not a technique, but the life, the power, and the glory. In him was life, and the life became the light. Let me tell you something. Jesus lived. You see, everybody that's live heartbeats. I'm not talking about a heartbeat. Jesus lived. He lived life to the fullest. He lived. Haven't you seen a lot of people that just weren't really living? They existed. Weren't really living though. Jesus lived. He lived life to the fullest. And when he hung on that cross and said, "It is finished," he meant, "I have lived it to the fullest. I've done everything my Father said done. I'm done. I'm finished." It was finished. He wasn't sighing a breath of relief. "Well, I'm sure glad I've come to the end of this thing. I've tried to do my best." No, he was done. He had lived it to the fullest. There's people that live and there's people that lives. Jesus lived. That life is what he wants you to walk in. And it's for every man, woman, boy, and girl. And that's the revelation that he desires to give you. It's a revealing of the Holy Spirit. We've got to have it. You ought to cry out for it. You ought to refuse to have anything less than the life of Christ. Refuse in your ministry, in your home, in your children, in the life you live before them. You can't put it in them. But the life you live before them, in your church, in your ministry, have the life of Christ. Have the life of Christ. Refuse anything less than the life of Christ. Because that's what he wants to give you. Okay. Now, at the bottom of page 33, we're in the middle of page 33 is where I said, "One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. It is the light of the life. In him was life, and the life was the light." Then I gave you this little piece of paper where John, once again, who wrote the Gospel of John, John 1, 2, Revelations, etc. What is John saying here? Let's read it to you real quick again. John chapter 1, this is the Amplified. And notice what John is saying. "We are writing about the Word of life, in him who existed from the beginning, in whom we have heard, we've seen, we've gazed upon for ourselves, and we have touched with our own hands." We have touched with our own hands. And I shared with you last week the progression. Notice the progression. We heard him, we saw him, we gazed upon him, and then we touched him. And that should be your life. There should be a progressive revelation. You should hear him, begin to see him, begin to gaze upon him, which means you get a little closer. You hear him, you see him, and then you want to get real close, and you get so close you want to touch him. That's the revelation of the Holy Spirit revealed to you. That's what John said. We heard him, we've seen him, we've gazed upon him, we've touched him with our own hands. And the life. Notice he said the life. Not a doctrine, not a theology, not a technique. The life, which is an aspect of his being, was revealed and made manifest and demonstrated. Here's the revelation. Was revealed to us. As we saw, and we saw as eyewitnesses, and are testifying to and declare to you the life, the eternal life, in him who already existed with the Father and who actually was made visible, was revealed to us, his followers. What we have seen and ourselves heard, we also are telling you, so that ye too may realize and enjoy fellowship as partners and partakers with us. And this fellowship that we have, which is a distinguishing mark of Christians, is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ the Messiah. He said, once again, this is a distinguishing mark of Christianity, knowing the life. And answer me a question. Who was he writing this to? Was it people before Jesus ascended? Oh no, Jesus Christ is in heaven. He's writing this to the church. He's writing this to the church that the only way they're going to have Christ revealed them now is how? By the Holy Spirit. And you hear John say, "We're writing this to you because we want you to be partners with us." You hear what John's saying? John's saying, we were in the earth when he walked in the flesh. We saw him in the flesh. And yes, in the flesh, we touched him. But John was saying, he's gone now. He's not here. And we're still touching him. We're still touching him. And John says, we want you to be partners of what we're experiencing now. That includes me and you. That includes us, that we can hear him, see him, gaze upon him, and touch this aspect of the life of Christ. How? By a revelation of the Holy Spirit. He was talking to the church there that's in the same position that we are, Christ having ascended, sent back the Holy Ghost. We're totally dependent upon the Spirit of God revealing the person of Christ to us. He wants us to be partners. I want to be a partner with John. Amen? I want to be a partner with John. Oh, this is the 20th century, 21st century around the corner. How can we be partners with John? The same way they were then. Because the Holy Ghost wants to reveal who? The person of Christ to us. He desires that. He wants me to hear, see, gaze upon, and touch this person of Jesus Christ. Say, oh, this is the 21st century, preacher. It's tougher. No, the tougher it gets, the more the Holy Ghost wants to reveal to us, praise God. The tougher it is, the more He opens our eyes. The more sin abounds around us, the more grace abounds. And what is grace? The desire, the strength to know the person of Jesus Christ. So He wants us to be partners. And we are now, verse 4, we are now writing these things to you that our joy in seeing you included, you included. That means us. That's us today. That's not just that church. This is us. He wants us included. And we now write in these things to you so that our joy in seeing you included may be full and your joy may be complete. I'm telling you, we are not going to have the fullness of joy until we open our hearts up and have a fresh revelation of the person of Jesus Christ. And I thank God we've got a long ways to go in this church. I acknowledge it in my own personal lives, in my own personal ministry and whatever. I got a long ways to go. But I can honestly say today that the foundation of where we're at is built upon one thing, knowing that man, knowing him, just know. And with all the flaws and immaturities and areas, there's a heartbeat in this ministry that says we want to know that person of Jesus Christ. And I am thankful. You say, well, you're the pastor. No, I'm thankful because I'm a husband and I'm a father that I can bring my family somewhere that the heartbeat is knowing the person of Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of God wants to reveal and to us. Yes, He challenges. Yes, sometimes He chastises us. Thank God for the conviction. He don't let us run amok and do our things. Thank God for all that. But in the midst of all that, there's a heartbeat. There's a heartbeat. You gotta know me. You gotta know me. You gotta know me. I thank God for that. And you need to stay around that. You need to stay around that atmosphere where people have a desire to want to know the person of Christ with their failures and with their flaws. Why else do we need to know Him? We have problems, but we need to know Him because He loved me, praise God, when I was a sinner and He died for me. That man wanted to know me. I want to know Him. Amen? I want to know Him. Okay. Bottom of page 33. Stop me anytime now. Christ known only by revelation. Here we go. New stuff. Well, let's go to that paragraph right before that. You see the word firstly? Okay. Firstly, God has shut up. I'm at the bottom of page 33. You see big letters, Christ known only by revelation. Four sentences above that, you see the word firstly. Firstly, God has shut up everything of Himself within His Son. And it's not possible now to know or have anything of God outside of the Lord Jesus. His Son. God hath made this a settled thing. It is final. It is conclusive. And all He's simply saying here, that in Revelation, when you have a revealing, it's all about His Son. It's all wrapped up in His Son. It's all about Jesus. The revealing that He will bring to you is all wrapped up in a person. You see, that keeps it very simple. It's all in a person. He don't bring all these other things. It's about a person. Okay, here we go. Secondly, it is not possible to have or know anything of all the fullness which God has shut up in His Son without the Holy Spirit's revelation of that in an inward way. It has to be a miracle wrought by the Holy Spirit within every man and woman. Now notice this, very important, it has to be an inner work. So we are dependent, aren't we? What are we dependent upon? Our book learning? No. Are we dependent upon our oratory or our abilities or our intellect? Thank God, no. We are dependent upon who? The Holy Spirit revealing within us the person of Jesus Christ. Well, thank God Jesus said it's expedient that I go away. If I don't go away, I can't send the gift of the Father back. He went back with nail scars in His wrist, reached out and received from the Father the gift to the world that had spit upon Him and cursed Him, the gift to the church, rather, and the world can receive it as they get saved. But the gift to the church, He came back and gave the church the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in the earth today has a heart, has a desire. And that heart and that desire is to reveal to each one of God's children in a fresh and a living way the person of Jesus Christ. And we have to believe that. It's got to be a miracle in our hearts. Thank God it's not dependent upon my ability or my strength. It's dependent upon the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is able to come within my heart and reveal the person of Christ. It's got to be an inward work. That again summarizes John's gospel. For there at the center is a man born blind. He never has seen. It is not a case of restoration with him. It is a giving of sight. It is the first thing. It is going to be an absolutely new world for that man. Thank God it's not just restoration. It's not making the old better. How many of you had old men and old women? You sure didn't want that thing made better. You needed something new. I didn't want my old man made better. I want a new man. Amen. I'm a new creature in Christ. And that's what he's talking about. It's not the old made better. Christ doesn't come, or the Holy Ghost doesn't come with a fresh revelation of Christ to restore the old. I'm telling you, he gives you a new person. It's the newness of life. The newness of life. Whatever he may have surmised, and this blind man had never seen, so whatever he saw was absolutely new to him. Absolutely new. It wasn't something he had figured out. It was something new. He had never seen it before. That's what a fresh revelation of Christ is. Yes, I've been saved. Yes, I've been born again for 20 years, let's say. And I have been. And I've been walking with the Lord these 20 years, endeavoring to grow and mature. Never went back, whatever. And so I've been trying to grow in grace. But I know in my heart, and this excites me, I know in my heart that if Jesus tarries, that next week, next month, next year, the Holy Ghost is going to open my eyes to a fresh revelation of the person of Christ. And it's not something I've seen before. It's not something I've figured out. It's not something I read before and thought I understood. It's going to be a miracle of God to open my eyes and me see Christ like I've never seen him before. Because see, if it was by my ability and my figuring out, that I'd take the word and figure it all out, and the Lord would begin to show, oh, I thought that was how it was, and I would start, if not careful, bring some of the glory back to self. I'm telling you, this is a miracle wrought by God in the inner man by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I know by the Spirit that God Almighty in the years to come, if Christ tarries, is going to reveal in a greater way the person of Christ. It's not going to be something I've seen and try to figure out. It's just like this blind man. He's going to open my eyes. And when people say how, techniques and methods, I may not know all that, but I can tell you this. I'll know it's of the Holy Spirit. It'll be fresh. It'll be real. It'll be life. Amen. It'll have nothing to do with me or my figuring it out. That's the miracle that's wrought within you by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we have need of. Let's read on. Whatever he may have surmised or guessed or imagined or had described to him, actually seeing is going to be something with a new beginning. And notice what he says here. Whatever had been described to him or he had imagined. Isn't that so true? We come to church and we hear this and we hear that and we try to figure it all out. And then we come to a service or one day in your prayer closet and the Holy Ghost opens your eyes. And about 10 seconds, what you had tried to figure out in 6 months is made real to you. And all your ability and all your intellect and all your spirituality, and I'm including myself in this, in all of our doings and goings and comings and all our surmisings and figuring out. Can you imagine this blind man sitting there blind for all these years? Don't you imagine he tried to figure out how things looked? He did. Well, sure he did. He tried to figure out things in the natural. How does this look? How does that look? And somebody sit beside him one day and say, well, the water's rippling across the pool and this building looks like this. And so he sit there and he heard all these surmisings of how things looked. And he tried to figure it out in his mind of how it all looked. We do the same thing. We come to church in our natural ability. Many times we try to figure things out instead of just go ahead and getting honest with God and just throw our hands up and say, God, I'll never know it apart from a miracle. It's got to be a miracle. Now, I'm not talking about not coming to church. That's why we tell you when you come to church to pray. To pray. To open your hearts up to the Word. Because you and I don't need to get spiritual to think that we understand that book. Because you'll never understand it apart from the Holy Spirit. You'll get doctrines down. You'll get words down. You'll get phraseologies down. You'll learn scriptures, but you won't know the life of the book. Apart from a miracle of God. And that's why we ask you when you come to open your hearts up through prayer that I'll have a heart to hear what the what's saying? The Spirit is saying. Because the Spirit is going to say something to you about Jesus. And He wants your heart open to receive that revelation of the person of Jesus Christ. When those eyes were open and when he saw it, it was nothing like what he heard. Never is when you first see it. It's so much different, isn't it? So much more beautiful. Somebody may have described to him the stars in the sky, but I can guarantee when he first saw it, they couldn't even think about describing it the way it really looked, could he? And a preacher, I'm telling you, can preach his poor heart out and having walked in it himself and just pour his heart out and you sit there and hear in the natural and hear in your natural understanding and it looks good. Oh, that's good. But I'm telling you, when the Holy Ghost makes it real to you, it is so much different than what you saw in mind. That's the difference, church. That's the difference in going to church and becoming the church. We need to be the church.
And the Holy, and I'm not saying that all that come to church are not the church, but we need to purpose in our minds. We need a miracle. We need a miracle of God to reveal to us the person. Mr. Leon, I see, let me just finish this paragraph here. We need to a miracle to reveal to us the person of Jesus Christ. It is going to be an absolute miracle producing an absolutely new world, and all his guesses of what that world contained and was like will prove to have been very inadequate when he actually sees. Nothing is going to be seen save by the miracle wrought within. God has shut up everything of himself in his Son. Number two, no one can know anything of that save as it is revealed. And he quotes the scripture, Matthew 11, no one knoweth the Son save the Father, neither doth any know the Father save the Son, and to whomsoever the Son willeth to reveal himself to. We need a miracle. We need one every day of our lives, so to speak. And the real miracle we need is the Holy Spirit to reveal Christ to us. That we stop trying to figure him out for ourselves. We stop putting him in a corner. But we really cry out, Lord, I've surmised things to be this way. I need my eyes open to see how it really is. And a lot of times we do that. And we figure things out. And then we close up shop. We surmise things by practical, by our natural minds or our natural understanding or by what somebody said, etc. And I'm not talking about now foolishness apart from the Word of God. It'll always line up with the Word. It'll always agree with the Word. But we need to open our hearts up and say, Holy Ghost, I need a miracle. I want to see Christ. I want to see this person. I want the Holy Ghost to give me the life. Oh yes, I don't want to live this way, and I don't want to sin. I don't want besetting sins. I mean, that should be our heartbeat to want to live holy. I mean, that shouldn't have to be argued about. But Lord, I don't have the life. I don't have the life. I'm not talking about, Lord, that I don't want to coexist with this. I want the life of Jesus flowing in my soul. And I'm learning that it won't happen apart from the miracle of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. And maybe I've gotten off a little bit, you might would say, from center, left or right. Lord, I got to be brought back to the center. I gotta have my eyes open. Mr. Leon, what was your question?
I'm sorry,
that's fine. No problem. Oh, you fine? Did it all make sense now? Okay, good enough. I just wanted to finish that thought before I broke in. Any other questions? Any other thoughts whatsoever? Whatsoever. Okay, you with me? How many of you need a miracle? And is that admitting defeat? Oh no, that's not admitting defeat. That's being wise. Amen. We need a miracle. It's not that we're struggling or about to fall off the cliff, but we realize we need a miracle. Because it is a miracle of God when Christ can take a man that was lost, open his eyes to see the person of Christ. That's a miracle that we can't work up or earn or deserve. It's the very blessings of God to open our eyes. So revelation is getting our eyes open to a freshness of the life of Christ in our daily walk. And this is what we're about to get into. And what we're about to study now, and we won't finish it today, obviously, is one of the most important things about understanding the Holy Ghost revealing Christ. For our question will be many times, well, when is this going to happen? Where is it going to happen? Is it going to happen in that message that I heard? Well, yes, it obviously can. God can come and reveal Christ. Is it going to happen in my prayer closet? Obviously, it can. But where is it going to happen more times than not? And I believe with all my heart, this next area here is one of the most important areas as far as our having an understanding of when Christ is going to be revealed to us. I am convinced, and I want to say this, I am convinced that this is where most people miss the Lord. Right here, what we're about to read. This is the least place that most people look for him. This is the place that most of our natural abilities are exerted. This is the place where most of us rise up in our own strength and try to do it in the day-to-day practical situations. That's where instead of humbling ourselves and crying out, God, I need a revelation of the person of Christ, we figure it out on our own. We figure this is not too spiritual. This has nothing to do with my Christianity. And I'll just deal with it my own way, the way I always have. And we get by week after month after year after year after year. And those are the very places that the Holy Ghost would have used to open your eyes to the person of Jesus Christ. I'm convinced this is where most miss it right here. In your daily walk, little things that happen, your fellowship with people, relationships, situations on the job, at home, tough times, good times, pressed here, pressed there. Instead of realizing that we're in a school, that we're in a process here, that the Holy Ghost has not missed anything. God's got a plan for our lives. He talked about it Sunday night. Got a plan. He's not missed anything. That man, this boy right here, right here, right here. That's boy, the Holy Ghost knows exactly where I'm at now. Holy Ghost, this may, Holy Ghost and the people around you, if you were to tell them what you were praying, would think you were crazy because they think it has nothing to do with the situation. Because it has nothing to do with the answer, they think. But you say, Lord, right in this situation, I'm believing you to reveal Christ to me. This is where people miss it at, right here. I guarantee you, even here in this class today and these that listen to this tape, every one of us go back the last 6 weeks in our lives and try to go back through some days of those 6 weeks. And you would see situations and circumstances where instead of waiting on the Lord, you rose up and did things in your own strength. Figured it out in your own mind. Could it not be that in some of those situations, could it not have been that the Holy Spirit was saying, now right here, I'm going to use this opportunity to open your eyes to Christ like you've never seen before. In other words, maybe you're in a tight spot one day, and it was tight. And instead of letting the Holy Ghost reveal to you Christ in that tight spot, your concern was just to get out of the tight spot. And the Holy Ghost said, well, don't you think I can keep you through this? Don't you think that God is bigger than having to get you out of this? Don't you? And we've all, and I'm talking to me now, so I'm not pointing a finger. Let me just paint this picture again real quick. Let's say that I was in a tight spot 6 weeks ago, all right? You say, we all get in tight spots. Well, this tight spot was different than the last tight spot, okay? We all get them from time to time. And in this tight spot, I come to it and I surmise, well, I shouldn't be here. This is not anything I've done to deserve this. I need to get out of this tight spot. Lord, I got to get out of this tight spot. And so my whole focus is getting out of that tight spot, okay? Getting out of it. And so my mentality, my mindset, my natural man is to get out of this tight spot. Well, here's what I've done. First of all, I've limited God. Instead of believing that God can keep me in this tight spot, I have said, God, I need to be out of this tight spot, as if God didn't know that. So I've taken the role of trying to tell God he don't really know his business. Because I've figured out I need to be out of the tight spot. Are you with me now? I'm just painting a picture. So I say, I need to be out of this tight spot. So instead of looking at the whole picture, my whole mind frame is to get out of this position. When I do that, I fail to realize the faithfulness of God. I fail to realize God could keep me in the tight spot. Could he not? Can he? Can't he keep me even though I'm in a tight place? Can't he still keep me? Still have the Lord and still love God and still, you know, not fall dead and all these things and not just fall out? Can't he keep me? Can he not? All right. Well, when I limit God there, then I really close down my heart to him. And this is the second thing. When I limit God to only wanting to get me out of the tight spot, I fail to realize that maybe God's got me there for a reason. Right? Now, I know you know this is elementary, but just listen. And so when I limit God to only wanting to get me out of the tight spot, then I've closed my eyes to the possibility that the reason I'm in this tight spot is for God to do something. And that thing that God may want to do is to reveal Christ to me in that tight spot in a way I've never known him. And all I'm concerned about is getting out of the tight place. When God's saying, son, I know you're in a tight place. I was going to get you out. But I wanted to do something while you're in it. And you failed to realize it. And here you sit again, 20 years saved. Here you sit again, not really trusting me, not believing I can keep you in the middle of that. And all, you know, I've just got you there because I was going to use it to open your eyes to my son in a way you'd never seen him. Here we go, doing it again. Taking things in our own strength, our own intellect, surmising how it should be, and we're missing the Lord. Now, how many of you think some remote chance, I'm sure most of you, some remote chance that some of you have ever done that? Remote chance. Just a remote chance, right? How many of you have remotely done it a couple of times? Amen. Now, how many of you would acknowledge today that what you really need in your life is not for things to be fixed or changed, but what you really need is the life of Christ. Amen. Am I right now? Is this right? Is the book right? What I really need is the life of Christ in the midst of it. And I'll tell you what, if I could have got the life of Christ in the midst of that thing, you know what it would have done? It's, we sing the song, Agnes, help me, that the shadows of the world fade away. How does that song, this song? The shadows, they pale into non-existence. What, how does it say? You know what I'm talking about? What's the name of the song? I want to know it. When I look into your holiness, when I look into your holiness, what's it say? Say those words for me. There it is. When all the things around me become shadows in the light of you. And what God can show us in the midst of that tight spot, all the things around us become shadows in the light of the person that we saw. Amen. That's what we got to have. We got to have that. That's what the church needs. We have got to get back to that. That we don't want Him for what He can do. Well, I want Jesus so He can get me out of this tight spot. When are we going to get to a place where we can say, I want Jesus in the tight spot? And you've got to admit, and I'm right, you know I'm right when I say this, for the most part, Jesus Christ has been relegated to a person that gets us out of tight spots. We can all say that. Instead of that person that we can see in the tight spot, and we want Him then more than even getting out. And this, I'm telling you, when you read the book of Acts, these men were absolutely beyond the level of the natural. These men could be in prison and singing in the midnight. What's wrong with this crowd? What is wrong with these folk? Oh, they got the Holy Ghost. Well, what do we got? Is the Holy Ghost any different? I'll tell you what they had. They had found Christ. They'd found the life of Christ. And they could be in the middle of prison and they were so full of the life that it was almost like they had forgotten where they were at. It didn't matter to them. They were in prison, doors open or not. They had the life of Christ. That's the difference in the book of Acts. That's where we've got to come. That's where the church needs to get back to. It's not Him to get us out. It's that we're in to get Him. Him. The life. I know the Lord in a degree. I've served Him. I've loved Him. I've tried to walk with Him. And there's an element that I know about Christ. There is an element. I thank God for that I know. And I say that in humility. I thank God for what I know. But I know there's so much more. So much more. I have no idea of Him. And I know I'm not going to get it apart from a miracle of the Holy Ghost in my life. And I know that He brings me to practical day-by-day situations, and that's when He's going to reveal Himself to me. I've learned that. Not very well. I still miss it at times, to say the least. But I have learned that it's in the practical daily things. I'm telling you boldly this morning that if you'll start to open your eyes in your daily walk, you're going to see in your daily life places that the Holy Spirit would have revealed Christ. There's Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. And then instead of being all bogged down and worried about self and how you're going to get out, you'll be excited about Christ in the middle. And there's some folk will look at you like, what's wrong with you? Don't you want to get out of this? Well, sure I do. But I mean, I found Jesus in the middle of it. Don't you want to get out of prison, Paul and Silas? What you singing for in the midnight hour? Why ain't you crying out wanting to get out? Well, we got the life of Christ. What else is there in Christianity? And we always want Christ to do something else for us. Get me out of this, get me out of that. And there's nothing wrong with Him getting us out of things, and He does, doesn't He? Praise God He does. Thank God He gets us out of tights. Thank God He gets us out of situations. Thank God He still heals. Thank God He still delivers. Thank God for all that. But isn't there a better miracle? Isn't there a better miracle of having matured to a place where whether He does or He don't, we find Him? And I may be wrong, and somebody correct me, but when I read Revelations, I understand that John was on the Isle of Patmos, correct? He was in slavery. He was one of the only ones that wasn't martyred. He was in slavery. Well, I don't find where he got out. Jesus came. He felt like a dead man, but Jesus didn't come to get him out of the Isle of Patmos, did he? What did he come to do? Give him a fresh revelation. Fresh revelation. Fresh revelation. And see, what we've done, and I know I haven't read this, and we'll read it next week, but I knew I'd, whatever. Because I get to this place every time, I get stirred because I've seen it in my own life, the mistakes I've made. And I don't want you to make it. You've been saved 1 week, 1 month, 2 years. There's no need to making these mistakes. Learn now. Lord, I'm going to look for you today. Today. In that place where I've always rose up in my old stinking self and said this and that. And that. Boy, I've missed you, Lord. Right there is where you'd reveal Christ to me. When I've always wanted it my way, and if it won't, it was this, that, and other. Somebody didn't like me, somebody this. It's just self. All it is stinking self. Excuse my vernacular. I'll talk about me. It was my stinking self. Maybe you ain't got any stinking self. Anybody here want to raise their hand? Got no stinking self? Okay. Self. Just self. Just self wanting to be seen. Self wanting that attention. Self wanting some of the honor, whatever. And I miss the Lord. I'm encouraging you now, rise up and refuse to miss the Lord in these areas of your life. Refuse. Let Him reveal Himself to you. Let Him open your heart. Let Him open your life. Jesus revealed Himself to John. He showed Himself in a glorious way. And that's exactly what God wants to do to us. We need to come determined. Lord, I refuse to always want to have to get out of a situation. I want to get out of that situation a revelation of Christ in the midst of it. Whether I ever get out of it or not. How many lives are built upon answered prayer instead of the one who answers the prayer? That make any sense? How many lives are built on answered prayer instead of built upon the man that answers the prayer, Jesus Christ? Anything wrong with answered prayer? No, God forbid that you think I'm implying that. But we need the person of Jesus Christ revealed to us in daily situations. Now, how many of you just want? I'm going to stop right there because if I start reading, I'm going to read that next Tuesday or Thursday. How many of you right now, you don't have to raise your hand, and you've read this, was supposed to have read this probably several times, so you knew the direction I was going, practical day-by-day situations. But how many of you can look back just the last few weeks, and once again, you don't have to raise your hand, but you see that once again, the opportunity was probably afforded you to get a fresh revelation of Christ in a daily situation, and you look back and say, well, there I went again. There I was, right in the way, trying to get out, or trying to point a finger, or surmising one thing, instead of right there waiting on the Lord and allowing the Holy Ghost to reveal the person of Christ. Now, how many of you that really see that believe that God so loves you and is so faithful that He will even now in your life, say 1 month, 20 years, doesn't matter, but you believe the Holy Spirit loves you so much that He'll start today if you'll just learn that He still wants to teach you. He still wants to show you Christ. How many of you believe He still wants to show you Christ? Now lift your hands. And with both of them up there, begin to thank the Lord. I'm serious. Begin to thank the Holy Ghost. We're going to end this class just like this. We're going to praise the Lord this morning. I want you to thank God for the Holy Ghost. I want you to take some time right now to thank God for the Holy Ghost that has a desire burning in His heart to reveal to you in your daily life the person of Christ. Go ahead and pray that. Father, I thank You for the Holy Ghost that has a desire to reveal to me in my daily situations the living Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Go ahead and pray that and be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful. And then begin to pray, Lord, open my eyes to see these opportunities. Go ahead and pray. Open my eyes, God, to see these opportunities that I do not miss them. I do not miss these opportunities that I refuse to allow self to get in the way again. My surmising, my intellect, my reasoning, my understanding to get in the way of a revelation of Christ. Go ahead. God, help me, God, to never again allow my understanding, my surmising, my natural mind, my natural thinking to get in the way in my daily practical life, daily situations, cooking in the kitchen, working that job, whatever it may be. Lord, I'm not going to get in the way. I want my heart open to the revelation of the person. I need the life. I need the power. I need the glory. I need the life. I need the power. I need the glory in my life. Father, I thank You, Lord. I praise You, God, that You open our eyes in our daily walk. God, it's in the daily practical situations, Lord, that You desire by the power and a miracle of the Holy Spirit to show us Christ like we've never seen Him before. God, help us as individuals. Help this church come to a place that we refuse to just limit Christ to someone that gets us out of things, to someone that just answers prayers. But help us to see Christ as a living person that we can know, Lord. Holy Ghost, we need a miracle in our lives, in our daily walk. Open our eyes, open our hearts, open our understanding to the person of Christ. Help us to yearn for Him. Help us to hunger and thirst for the person of Christ. Give us a revelation of Him in our daily walk, God. Open our eyes to these divine opportunities that we have to see this man, that loved us enough to die for us. We were yet sinners. God, give us a hunger. Give us a thirst to want to know Him. To want to know Him, Lord. To want to know Him, Father, in a fresh and a living way. We need Your life. We need the life flowing as never before. God, we're thankful this weekend. We're thankful for the last several weeks. It's been real. It's been living. But Lord, we thank You that this is just another stepping stone to move forward, to progress. There's so much more, God. And we thank You by faith that the Holy Ghost desires to reveal to us in a living way the person of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Open our eyes in our daily walk to see these opportunities and to embrace them. Lord, I know You're going to change lives as we do. I know You are God. I know You're going to change lives. There's going to be a hunger and thirst in this house. There's going to be a hunger and thirst in these programs. It's already started, God. It's already beginning to develop in a greater way, God, in our individual lives. A hunger and a thirst to know the living person of Christ. There's a man in heaven right now. He's alive, and we can know Him. John said He wanted us included, that we can be included in this fellowship. We can be included in this intimacy, Lord. God, it would fill our joy. Our joy would be full as we're included in this fellowship, Father. This distinguishing mark of Christianity. God, we thank You by faith that we're going to learn not about Him, but we're going to learn Christ. We're going to know Him. We're going to know Him, Father. Hallelujah. We give You all the praise. We give You all the glory. Hallelujah. 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 Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You for this class. We thank You for what You're speaking to us, Lord, very clearly. Help it to carry over in our daily lives now, God. Bring us back Thursday, Lord, here, and keep our hearts open, Lord, to this Word. We give You all the praise for what You're going to do. Lord, I pray that what we sense here would spill over, God. Lord, it would spill over. That others would just share. They would share what they're learning. They would share the goodness of God. They would just share it, Lord. Not so much to try to make someone feel guilty they're not here, God, but just to share what they're learning, that their life, Lord, will continue to come forth. We're hearing good reports, God. People are sharing what they're learning. God, help that to continue and to grow, that it will spill out. It will spill out of our lives onto others, Lord, and it would encourage their lives. Help us to know You by revelation. We give You all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name.